If you're sick and tired of getting robocalls, well, Connecticut Senator Richard Blumenthal and Attorney General William Tong want to do something about the problem. Safe to say, we expect a lot of people angry at the companies making all these calls. Officials say they are dangerous, costly, and federal laws about them could be changing sometime very soon. We're going to bring in our next guest. He is the Attorney General for the state of Connecticut, William Tong. William, good morning.
Yes, good morning. Hey. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to both of you.
Nice to hear your voice. How you been there, buddy?
Good to hear you as well, Gary. How are things out there in Newington?
Well, you know, a little icy and a little cold, but...
Yeah, they're cold down south, too, in Stamford, too. Super cold.
Hey, congratulations back in November on your win.
Yes,
Thank you. Thank you.
And he was a former colleague of mine in the House.
Yeah, we did several years together.
Yes.
A lot of hard work together in the House, and actually... this issue came up a number of times, robocalls, and it's a really tough issue for all of us.
Is it true that it falls under the purview of the FCC? And let's face it, the FCC is just an acronym for Federal Communications Commission, but is it more of a federal issue than it is a state issue?
Well, I think it's both state and federal. There's a bunch of FCC, FTC, you know, it's an all-hands-on-deck kind of thing because it's really hard to get at these scammers and wrongdoers, many of whom are not in the United States. And they have access to really cheap technology, so they can sit abroad in Asia or in Africa and not pay a lot of money to access our telecommunications systems to try to scam people.
You notice that when, and I'm sure you get them as well, I think probably everybody does, when a number will just come up on your phone, and sometimes it'll be your own phone number, sometimes it'll be some crazy number like 000000, and other times it'll just be out of state. I get phone calls from, you know, Arizona, and I'm like, I don't know anybody in Arizona, so I don't even answer it. But there's a vulnerable portion of our population who will just answer their phone every time it rings, and unfortunately believe anything that comes out of the mouth from the person on the other side of that phone. So in other words, there's scam artists as well.
I think it's all of us, honestly. I mean, I've picked up a call here and there expecting it to be a relative or an important work call because I see an area code and it makes sense that someone should call me from that area code.
Okay.
And they're pretty sophisticated, right, when they target us. Gary, you mentioned getting called by your own phone number.
Yeah, that's true.
I didn't know about that, but that freaked me out. And I picked up the phone because I didn't understand why someone would call me from my own number. And I thought maybe that was a glitch or something. And it was a call that should be addressed. And so you get tricked in many different ways. And I think it happens to all of us.
What is the difference, though? Isn't there there's a do not call list? Is it just because the origin of these phone calls are occurring out of the country and they couldn't care less about what or maybe not even know what a do not call list is?
They couldn't care less. You know, the companies complying with the do not call list are the companies that are complying with the law. So wrongdoers and scammers and criminals don't care about the do not call list. And you know, they swindled my parents, and they swindle people all the time to the tune of thousands and thousands of dollars. And we hope that people, you know, people need to be careful. They need to know what they know, which is that, the IRS, Eversource are not going to call them at home and demand a credit card right away. And they're definitely not going to demand that you go down to CVS and buy a bunch of gift cards and put them in the mail and send them.
Oh, God.
But people, you know, when they're under pressure and they are told the story about how maybe their grandson or granddaughter's in trouble and you better send us $1,000 in gift cards, you know, people will do it because they're just that worried and concerned about their loved ones.
Well, they sound so convincing on the other end.
Right. And often these robocalls start out as a robocall, so it's an automated call and it's, hello, Gary, you know, press one, if you're really concerned about what's happening in Newington, and maybe you'll just do that, right? Just because you're concerned about what's happening in your hometown, and that'll connect you to a boiler room where there's somebody in some room somewhere in the world who's ready to scam you.
Oh my goodness.
You know, people that I talk with, want this, out of the, out of the, the heap, as one guy said to me. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Why can't we get it done and done quickly? Why do we have to talk about it and
They are trying to get it done. I guess maybe the question should be, how do you execute a plan where the origin of these phone calls are deriving from out of country?
So it's a multi-pronged approach. One is at the federal level, and Senator Blumenthal is leading the way on an act called the TRACE Act, which is now before the United States Senate. And that's to put more teeth into law enforcement so we can go after these wrongdoers abroad, but also compel the telecommunications companies to give us tracing data so we can find these people and go after them. So that's a big piece of it. It's also state AGs. Essentially, the 50 of us have come together, and we're working very closely to put pressure on the telecommunications companies like AT&T, like Verizon, and Frontier and others. And they're cooperating. We've come together and put together a plan based on 8 principles, again, that's focused on tracing calls and also compelling the telecommunications companies to use technology to stop these calls at the system level before they get to us, and then also to provide call blocking technology for free to people on their phones at the point at which the calls are made and received by people here in Connecticut.
I guess my only follow-up question would be, how can they determine when they're using an actual someone's real phone number, how can they determine whether it's a genuine caller on the other side as opposed to a scam artist?
So I can't profess to be a telecommunications engineer, but we are told that at the system level, right, before the calls come in, that they have sophisticated computer software that will track where calls are coming from, the manner in which they're coming, right, if they're coming in one big tranche or bucket of calls, if it's thousands of calls, millions of calls sometimes. There are companies that facilitate these calls, and so the telecommunications companies have to know their customers and the intermediaries that they deal with. The problem sometimes is the call is initiated by X company, and by the time our local phone company gets it, it's the 11th step, right, along the way.
Wow.
So there have been 10 other steps, and it's incumbent upon the telecom companies to make sure they know as best as they can where the calls are coming from, and that at every step of the way, we know who the intermediaries are, who those companies are, and that we try to stop them.
And I'm sure you can attest to this. When we were both, I know when I was in the House during my terms, I would get, you know, emails and phone calls and contact from my constituents regarding this very issue. I'm sure you did too. And it always left me scratching my head going, I did contact John Larson's office on behalf of a few constituents. I mean, he was always very, quick to return my phone calls. And very little was done. And the only thing that was told to me that I would relay back to my constituents were, listen, we can pass all the laws that we want, but being able to enforce what is passed, you know, is a whole other ballgame. And you and I both know as witnesses, as being former members of the House here in the state, those are very true words. Passing a law is one thing, you know, but enforcing it is completely something different. I guess there's just a lot of concern where, you know, as the task force moves through and comes up with these ideas and begins execution, how enforceable is it, particularly when they're deriving from out of the country? But I guess listening to you, there is technology that, you know, you and I, just because we're not, you know, techies, are not that that well aware of, but I guess it exists.
There's technology. They have to use it, and they have to provide that technology to consumers for free, because we pay for telecommunication services that we need from the major providers, and we pay money for that, and they have an obligation to keep us safe from scammers. And if they have technology, they have to deploy it, and they have to give it to us for free.
Well, then two quick questions, and I'll let you go. Number one, if they have this technology and they've had it, why, and obviously they've heard from people with these problems in the past, why wouldn't they have already utilized it?
Well, I think because it's a developing technology, right? And the problem with technology is it changes every 7 seconds. And the bad guys are, you know, often a step ahead.
Yeah, true.
Right? Or you make a change in the technology to stop them, and they figure out how to get around it. So it's not a static thing. And Gary, I think truer things have never been said. You know, the law, as we all know, it's always, it's an old adage, the law is a dead letter unless we can enforce it. So it's really about putting teeth in our laws and then having the law enforcement resources and the wherewithal and the information we need to go after the bad guys.
Yeah. We will get them, though.
Oh, well, you will.
And we will.
My final question to you, William, is this. Listen, I really like what I'm hearing from you. And in just reading a little bit prior to our interview, I was really getting into what I was reading. And I really have I feel very positive about it. But in reality, you know, what you read is one thing, and then there's the reality of everything. You and I know that.
Yeah.
How long will it take before people can start, noticing a difference of the decrease, if not complete elimination, of these robocalls?
You know, it's a process. I will say this. They're already stopping a significant volume of calls. I don't know how and when we'll ever completely eliminate the problem, but already we have access to call blocking technology on our cell phones. Already, the big telecommunications companies are making that available to consumers, and we do know that they're stopping a high volume of calls that are already they're able to stop at the system wide level. Do I know that we'll ever be able to get rid of all of them? I don't know that yet.
Well, and you just said it, and I completely agree a moment ago, where because they're one step ahead of us. So once this technology catches up to what they're doing right now, they're already moved on to something else that, you know, we haven't caught up to. So
Right. And then, of course, it's so important to be careful, not just with your phone, but with your email account, even email accounts at work. You know, I get spam and phishing emails at work at my attorney general account at the state of Connecticut. You would think that we would have very strong computer security at the state level. Of course we do, but they can get through that too.
That's crazy.
So nobody's immune.
All right. Well, there you have it. Thank you so much, Attorney General William Tong. Thanks for being with us this morning. We really appreciate your time.